You're now listening to the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast with hosts John Olea Lofson, Steve Pardetti Wygant, and Casey Hendrickson.
My name is Casey Hendrickson. This is the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast live from the 2015 Rep Rap Festival here in Elkhart, Indiana. We've got a panel here of four individuals. We're going to talk with each one. We're going to go through closest to me and moving out farther away, and they'll introduce themselves, and then we have some questions for them to talk about the industry and how things are going. We'll take a short pause, and then we'll have questions from the audience. So the audience member will just come up to this microphone after the break, ask their question. They'll be able to respond to it, and then we've got a doozy of a question. It's the last one for everybody. You can get the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast exclusively on iTunes. I'm joking. You can get it in any podcast service that you want. But again, it's available on iTunes, Podcaster, all the other ones. All right, so closest to me, Johnny Russell. Johnny, how are you, man? Introduce yourself.
Good. Hey, I'm Johnny Russell. I'm with Ulta Machine. We're a small company in Tennessee that builds open source 3D printer controllers and sell miscellaneous components you may need.
Because it's not patched through the speakers, they can't. You got to talk loud. Sorry.
You're going to have to yell.
We don't have a PA system going.
So, I'm Johnny Russell. I'm with Ulta Machine. We make open source controllers, electronics for 3D printers, and sell miscellaneous parts and supplies you may need to run one.
Okay. Thanks, Johnny. Shane Graber. What's up, man?
Nothing much.
Talking to the microphone, please.
I'm Shane Graber. I'm with Maker Juice Labs, and we formulate and develop and sell UV stereolithographic resins for UV resin printers.
We have Lars Brubaker.
Yeah, so I'm Lars Brubaker. I'm the CEO of Matter Hackers, and I'm also the lead developer on Matter Control, which is a piece of open source software that controls 3D printers and just makes them a lot more usable. So.
And finally, we have Sanjay Mortimer.
Hi, my name is Sanjay. I'm from a company called E3D Online, and we manufacture extrusion systems for filament-based 3D printers.
All right, guys, we do appreciate it. All right, so first question. How'd you guys get started in open source 3D printing? We'll start with you, Johnny.
Yeah, so I found out about the RepRap project through RSS feed, probably Make Magazine, I'm pretty sure. And bought a printer and found out it didn't work as nice as I perceived. And me and a group of friends turned colleagues have kind of tried to improve that over the years.
And Shane, what about you, man?
I got started in it with a MakerBot cupcake. I was probably one of the last ones that they had manufactured, but that was my initial interest in it, and I started joining the IRC room where I met Johnny and a couple other people there, and it's a very good community to learn from.
Awesome. And Lars, what about you, man?
So I got started. I bought a cupcake after watching Adrian Bauer's talks and following RepRap for a really long time. I was just so excited about being able to make things on my own and the capabilities of 3D printers. I actually bought a kit a long time ago from Johnny, built a Prusa, and I just went on and on, made lots of printers. And I'm a software guy, so I sat there and watched it printing and just agonized over how much better I thought I could make it. So all of it's improved so dramatically since then, and I'm just really excited to still be a part of it.
Sanjay, what about you?
I was too cheap to go and purchase really expensive thermoplastic materials like PEEK and also PTFE linings to make a hot end. So I did have some metal lying around and had access to a metal lathe. And so I made a hot end out of metal instead of PEEK and then posted pictures of it on the internet. And then people asked me to make them, and I did. And then I sold them, and then it all spiraled out of control.
That happens, right? All right, guys. So the Prusa variants have been the leading design for many years now. Now, what do you see being design-wise the next step? Do you see Delta, Polar, maybe another Cartesian? How do you guys see that going, Johnny? Come on, man. Millions of people are listening.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
All of them.
All of them. I mean, there's, I don't see a real clear advantage to one over the other. There's, everything's got its own features and flaws, and it's kind of whatever flavor you like, just try it out maybe.
And what about you, Shane?
I gotta agree with Johnny. I don't think there's any one that's really better than the other. I've got two Cartesians at home, and then a Delta, in addition to a couple of resin printers. And I personally like all of them, to be honest. I think one of the upcoming ones, I think the H-Bots are ones that I've seen quite a bit of work being done on, along with the Core XYs.
Okay. And Lars, what about you, man?
So we got about 40 different printers in our shop. We have some, we have Polar printers, Cartesian printers, Delta Bots. And I have to agree, I mean, it's, you know, a redundant answer, but they're all very similar. I think there's some distinct advantages to having your part not move, or to, you know, getting the weight off of the extruder. But generally, they print at very similar resolutions and very similar capabilities. I don't see a dramatic difference.
Sanjay?
I like Cartesian systems where the prints move in Z, and I like those because the print doesn't move, resolution is constant, you can carry a lot of weight on the extruder head, which means you can make a really good extruder, which is a big challenge in 3D printing, and I think that we can get weight and speed on those types of systems if we look at different ways of doing kinematics to make the extruder move and drive power to the extruder. I like Deltas as well, guys, but honestly, like, I love Cartesian. It works.
Now, if just as a follow-up to that, I mean, because we're talking about the quality of them and the print quality and everything else, but is there something on the consumer side for the people who may not understand the technology necessarily, but go out and buy one because they want one or they need one for their business, that might gravitate towards one of these designs a little bit more as we go forward? A little bit more user-friendly, if you will.
Yeah, I think that a Cartesian system is easier to understand and maintain for a new user, and there are no 3D printers that don't require maintenance or calibration of some sort, so I think intuitively Cartesian systems are a bit easier to understand, and in terms of like market-ready printers, I think there are some decent, good printers such as the Ultimaker out there that make use of those systems, but there are also some really good options in the Delta space, like what CMEC and CMake as well.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that?
I mean, I think that I certainly have seen it both ways as well, where either can be easier to configure or not. Some of the Delta printers come out and they just work right out of the box, and that's really great. The fact that they are consistent, that they're three-way symmetrical, means that there's just less to understand once you get it set up, once you have an understanding of the printer and how it works. Whereas the Cartesian printers, all three axes are different, and you, as a user, when you're trying to repair something or doing something to it, there's three distinct systems to understand, and I think that that can be harder in some ways. So I actually think the Delta printers are really great.
Now, what would the future need to look like to have a rep wrap in every single home? Johnny, you get to lead us off, man. Robot children, dogs, fish.
A lot of material evolving, I guess.
So there needs to be advancements in material and filaments and things like that?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, if you're going to be able to meet a lot of different requirements to make it useful in every household.
Useful. I mean, we all have computers, but we all use them for porn. We don't necessarily use them for work. I mean, could just be something we have, right?
Yeah. Well, go ahead, help me out here.
I don't look at porn, honey, for the record.
I would definitely say ease of use would be something that would be beneficial. Something that you can essentially pull out of the box and just set up and go. For the general consumer, I think they really need that ease of use, because not all of them are tech savvy like a number of us are around here. The software needs to be very intuitive, the hardware needs to be intuitive, and it just needs to just work.
Okay. Yeah.
So the point of a 3D printer is that you can make anything you want anytime you want it. And so we're talking about making custom things all the time. And so what we need to do to get a printer in everybody's household is find out what everybody's niche is, what it is that they want to make. One of our guys just wrote a really good article about saltwater fish tanks. And it's amazing. He's made like 10, 20 different parts for his saltwater fish tank that he needed that were custom that he can't buy. And he can't buy them because his tank is special and how he wants it to work is special. And when we start to find all of those places in each of our lives where we're needing things that are specific to us, and we get the capabilities, which is what we want to do on the software side, of helping you build the things that you want trivially, I think that's when 3D printers become really interesting for individuals. To just fix things that you didn't know you need fixed. Like you want a custom picture hanger, or you want a custom iPhone case, or you want, you know, custom wall plates for your light switches for your kids. Those things are ridiculous, but if you look around your house, like the majority of things you own are frankly ridiculous. I mean, you don't need the stuff we have, and it'd be a lot cooler if it was all custom.
Anybody ever tried to price out those light switch plates when you go to the store? Like the good ones, the ones that don't just look like that almond-colored, horrible, awful stuff. I mean, they're expensive. And so, I mean, a lot of people made money using those things. Sanjay, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I think we need a software tool chain that doesn't suck. And I think that, like, things that you, what you guys are doing is a huge thing. I also think that we need support material that works. Because without that, like, we're not going to be able to educate the everyday standard user about, like, you can overhang like this and you can bridge here. And it's just not going to happen. Like, it's not going to happen. And it's not going to lead to, you know, the complete freedom of manufacture that we want. So we need support material. There needs to be this hard chemical engineering that needs to be done to get that done. And there are extrusion systems, which I work in, and hopefully I think we got that sorted. But I think those are the two big, like, last frontiers for... Perhaps I don't think we're going to see rep wraps in every home, but I think we will see open platform 3D printers perhaps making a bigger splash, because what we see a lot of here is a mixture of not just rep wraps, but open platform 3D printers like PrinterBots and CMECNCs, which are by no means really true rep wraps, not ragging on them, but they make a fantastic machine, but it's not quite a rep wrap. So open platform machines with good software that can print with support material that works.
So we have multiple panelists say material is going to be key, at least in some factor. We've got software. When you have people who are not familiar with 3D printing come up to you guys, is one of the first questions you usually get about software, what do I need to know, what do I need to buy to be able to make something? Is that one of the first questions you get? Yeah. So again, software, big deal. Got to make it user-friendly, right? All right. Resin printers. They've been gaining in popularity, obviously, over the past couple of years, even though we were just discussing that some people have finally learned that they exist. Do you see them taking over FFF anytime soon? Or is that maybe a little bit down the line, ever, at all? Because, I mean, they've got some advantages. Do you think people would gravitate more to that technology? Johnny? You're always first, man.
Yeah, you're first, man.
Yeah, even when it's Shane's topic.
I'm going to make him go last just because you said that.
Thank you. I think there's a few years at least on the materials to be comparable material properties. But then again, we see this demo earlier that Shane's company's doing with it holding weight for 4 hours.
Yeah, we held 110 pounds on that thing for about 40 minutes solid.
40 minutes. Yeah, so the materials properties are getting closer on it. I'm not sure how the build volume scales without these new technologies. Yeah, it's definitely for higher resolution stuff where you want a higher level of detail, it's definitely approaching fast.
Okay.
But I'm not sure that it can overtake it as far as price, and I feel like both will have their niche for some time.
That's a good point too, Shane. I mean, what about price? I mean, is price going to be able to make it competitive on the same level as a typical printer?
On the same level as a as filament?
Yeah.
I think resins are probably going to be a little bit more expensive than the filaments. I mean, the filaments, the ABSs, PLAs, a lot of them are a commodity item, at least now when you see just the sheer number of companies that have their own filament out there. So the prices are kind of at the bottom, well, not the bottom, but down there a lot further. With resins, there's a lot more R&D that has to go into it because each company has to design, develop, make sure that it works properly in multiple printers before it can go out there. So you've got all that R&D cost that you actually have to assign to that final resin.
Is there a regulatory issue that might impact resin printers more than FFF or no?
There's certain regulatory issues that you might have to deal with. I mean, some of the resins may have things in it that you shouldn't discharge into a water system or something along those lines. So you've got cleanup that you have to take care of and things of that nature.
Got it. And what about you, Lars?
Well, I think you should look to the commercial printing to really kind of understand what the problem is. And commercial printing's always had SLA, it's always had FDM or FFF, and it's always had the SLS, selective laser sintering. And the reason is because the different technologies satisfy different goals and different needs. If you're printing something in FFF and you want, like I want to print a stand for something, when it's done printing, I could rip it off the printer and go use it. And I don't have to worry about curing it or cleaning it or doing anything. And that's an intrinsic advantage that's permanent. But SLA, stereolithography, is super high resolution, but at the expense of some other characteristics. So those trade-offs make them remain all viable, probably indefinitely, because they're just different technologies that satisfy different goals. I don't really see one ending up taking over the other. And the cleanup and the use case of FFF is so easy that it really seems like it's going to be permanent in the consumer space for a long time, at a minimum, if not always.
So this has kind of been a trend over the past couple of topics that everybody seems to think that this is going to come down to the niche of whoever is buying the machine and using the machine and what they're using it for, what technology they're going to actually go for.
I think that's definitely fair, but I think FFF it's a remarkably usable. It's easy to set up, it's easy to understand, and it gives you results that you can use right away. There's no cleanup. Whereas if you had powders or you have resins or you have other things, that's very hard to give to a regular person who doesn't want to be very engaged with what's happening.
Gotcha. Sanjay?
Kind of echoing what other people said, I see a plurality of solutions being what's coming along, and I don't think we should neglect SLS with the recent IP developments there. So that also needs to be taken into account as well. I don't see that FFF will be supplanted because obviously in terms of material science, we're able to leverage the huge, like enormous multi-billion dollar kind of R&D that goes on in thermoplastics. In terms of like high performance resins, I don't see photopolymers catching up with high performance thermoplastics, perhaps not ever. So there's that to bear in mind. I think we're going to be able to get that high performance down into open source FFF, which is going to sort of carve out a sort of industrial open source FFF niche, if you will. And also, just to echo the kind of like ease of use, that kind of thing. But I do massively see that some people, they want beautiful, beautiful things and ornaments. There's a lot of people who are turned off of 3D printing when they see lots of layers. The artists, the creatives, they don't want anything to do with an FFF type print.
Gotcha.
And they want a lot to do with what you guys are doing. So it's going to include new people.
All right, guys, we do appreciate it. Again, Johnny, Shane, Lars, and Sanjay. That's segment one. We'll take some questions from the audience coming up after the break. We're going to take a brief intermission. Again, you are listening live from the 2015 Midwest RepRap Festival, the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast. We'll be back with segment two coming up right here.
You've been listening to the See Me CNC Printed 3D Podcast. To learn more about See Me CNC's lineup of 3D printers and accessories, visit SeeMeCNC.com.